The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, millennials, and welcome back to The Toast to a very special, gorgeous, delightful, stunning episode with somebody we love here at The Toast, somebody who's kind of like so in the news right now, like Scandoval. It's Stassi.
I know. I'm in the news right now because of Scandoval. I know. It's so weird. It's like all of the like the outside players that technically have nothing to do with it. Like, I have nothing to do with it.
That's not true, because you are responsible for the most pointed, the most iconic line. You sell selfish, egotistical piece of shit, because that's literally exactly what it was. I feel like proud of myself. I knew Sandoval was what he is. Like, I knew, but like some people like thought he was cute, and like some people of the show, fans of the show, like to watch him. Like, I've been knowing forever, and I feel like you have too.
No, I always got so frustrated watching the show, because I'm like, God, he seems like such a hero when I watch it, but like, no, I know.
I know. And so, to be honest, ever since you left the show, I haven't really craved your presence there, because the show was not good, like for a considerable amount of time, until obviously this whole thing happened. And I did kind of crave someone who was on the right side of history for so many years, and that was you.
Wait, do you know how good that feels, to be on the right side of history? I feel like so often I'm not.
Same, literally. So,
oh, that feels amazing. Yeah, no, I do keep saying that, like, what a wasted opportunity this was. You know, if there was one season I would have liked to have been in,
yeah, duh,
probably would have been this one, so I could have just given like a big old I told you so.
100%. And I asked Jax this when he was on the podcast, and he was actually pretty honest. I said, like, is there any sort of FOMO with, not FOMO, or even like a little resentment about like the show becoming literally the biggest thing in pop culture? And the show was built off the backs of people like you and Jax.
Yeah.
Is there any sort of like...
Of course there are moments where it's like, oh, wow, like seeing how big it's gotten, it's like when we're not there. Mm-hmm. I think that that's human nature.
Of course. I mean, I would feel, be so not okay.
To feel a little bit, then you get insecure about like, was I not good enough? Mm-hmm. Did I not do, like, it's a weird convoluted kind of nuanced, yeah, feeling, because it's like, I'm happy that I'm not
in that,
but at the same time, oh, it makes you miss it a little bit.
Yeah. And I feel like, I don't know, I feel like just based as like an outsider watching your life on social media, like, you really look like you're thriving, you're pregnant again, you look so beautiful.
Thank
that
you.
Like, you don't, I feel like for a while, like, the show was like really the center of your universe, and now you have such a full life outside of it.
Yeah, no, like, because when I think about like, what would that be like to film again?
Mm-hmm.
My life is so different.
Yeah.
Where, yes, Vanderpump Rules used to be the center of my world. Mm-hmm. I organized my life around the show.
Yeah.
So, and now I couldn't imagine going to the place and doing the things that would be required from being on a show like Vanderpump Rules.
Yeah. I have to imagine at like the height of it, when you guys were so young and like really just like drinking all the time, like, it was so toxic.
God,
no,
I totally miss drinking all the time.
I know.
You know, we only have a little while left.
You, how far along are you?
7 months.
And you're having a boy.
Yeah.
And are you so excited?
No, ridiculously excited, because I am not the favorite in the house. Mm-hmm. Beau is Hartford's favorite.
Daddy's girl.
And it's about time I am number one.
That's hurtful. I'm not going to lie.
No, wait, like, really, I've cried multiple times. I mean, sobbing, dry heaving, crying, because I feel left out in my own house.
I mean, you literally gave birth to
her. No, it's like, she doesn't understand. She doesn't realize.
She will.
One day I'm going to slap the sense into her.
She will understand one day. And I feel like that's like a huge part of growing up, is like, you actually end up like having so much gratitude and respect for your parents, like dealing with you.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, no, your time is coming, Sassy. Well, you look great. You're just like doing the most. Honestly, you exhaust me. Like, I'm a deeply lazy person.
And no, you're not.
And I'm not even pregnant.
No, Claudia, you're not.
No, I really am. Like, at my core, I'm like a lazy slob. And I love that about myself. It's like a cornerstone of my personality. You are doing the most and you're so pregnant.
Okay, this is the thing. My first pregnancy was during COVID. I was not allowed to leave my house. All I could do was sit around and watch Outlander, the Great British Bake Off show, and bake sweets and eat them all day long.
Sounds like heaven.
I didn't get to put on outfits. Yeah. I didn't do anything. So that was one of the reasons I was scared to get pregnant for a second time, because I have all of this. It's like I feel like a little triggered. Like,
yeah.
Oh, my God. Does that mean that I'm going to be confined to my house again? Mm-hmm. And so I am trying to do the most, because the first time I did nothing.
That's a good explanation.
You know.
And now you're like dressing up your bump, which you never got to do because you were probably in pajamas all day.
Yes.
And you look so good on tour. Like, I came to see your show. It was so good. You looked like I wanted to kill you. Like,
you
look
so
beautiful. And you wear shoes that like I could never wear, and you're pregnant.
Well, that is because they make me feel so much better about myself. Mm-hmm. Like, when I put a heel on, I mean, I instantly, my self-esteem just rises so immensely.
So does mine, because, like, then my legs look longer, and like, you can't really see the cellulite. Like, exactly. That I get.
And there's nothing worse than when you're on tour, and then you see everyone posting the videos of you, and they're all from down low, and you're like, I'm a troll, I'm a beast, I hate myself. So, yeah, the higher the heel.
That is such a niche reference, and I could not agree more. That is probably one of my least favorite things about being a performer is the fact that I'm up on an elevated surface and everybody taking a photo of me is below me.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't even wear dresses or skirts. If I did, that would probably bring like another element of panic. But like the chin, it's horrible. It's offensive.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't noticed. You've just been looking truly radiant.
Well, I'm only reposting the ones that I look good in.
So. I understand and I respect that. I really, truly do. Well, I saw the show. It was so good. I have to ask you something, because I feel like we're actually in like a similar position with our husbands. Like, when your husband came out on stage, oh my God, like the girlies in the audience were losing their minds. Like, they're obsessed. And he's hysterical, don't get me wrong. But like, he wasn't like doing anything crazy and they were like loving it. And that's how I feel about my husband. Like, when he comes on the podcast and stuff, it's like, he doesn't even do anything and everyone's like, that was the best episode ever. Like, we need Ben on every episode. I'm like, really? Like, I'm sitting right here. Like. Uh-huh. What did I was like doing the most.
Yes.
And nobody even noticed
I'm carrying this.
Yeah, no, literally. And it's like, it's kind of hard not to become resentful. Do you agree?
You know what? I think of it as this. I feel like because our husbands are really good people and people sense that. I actually genuinely think that. So they could do the least.
And
people
receive.
And people would still love it, because I think that you can just sense and see that, like, wow, those are really good men.
Yeah. Bo really is the best.
No, he is. He is the best person that I know.
How did you guys meet?
Kristen and Katie introduced us.
Oh, damn. Everything comes back to Vanderpump Rules.
Everything always fucking comes back to Vanderpump
Rules. How did they know him?
Just mutual friends. Like, he would hang out in some of, like, the circles that, like, Kristen would hang out with, like, other groups of friends that she had. And I remember she showed me his Instagram, and I was like, oh, he's hot, and he looks different than anyone else I've ever dated before. And that's how that happened.
You know, one of the great crimes of the last few years is we never really got so much Bo on Vanderpump Rules. It was like one or two seasons, but you guys weren't engaged yet. Like, you got engaged on the show. But like, there was just like not enough. Like, we really never got to like live with you and Bo.
But like, how amazing is that? The mystery of it. But also, we're living in people's heads where we stopped, where it's, you know, we weren't on it long enough for the producers to be like, you know what, we're going to really need to give you a bad season.
Yes.
Let's dig deep.
That's so true. We never got a Bo bad season. So he just lives. He's like permanently frozen in everyone's mind at the age of like whatever he was back then.
Yeah.
That's gorgeous. Now, the age old question, you know, I'm sure everyone asks, like, return to reality TV ?
I think that if there was something that, again, I didn't feel like I had to change my life to be involved in, then I would. Like, I really do miss it. I love it, but I just don't want to disrupt my life.
Yeah.
Like, it really does actually, like, it gives me anxiety when I think about, because I really try and imagine what it would be like to film again. And if I were to change my life, that then affects your relationship. It affects your children. It affects family members.
Would you put your kids on the show?
It depends on the show.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't know if you want to respond, but Jax had a lot to say about you when he came on the toast.
I heard, because I'm a toaster, so obviously I listened. So I was like, oh, you know.
Yeah, I honestly, I didn't think he said anything like incriminating or bad.
No, he didn't say anything bad. He just didn't say the truth.
That's right. So he basically said like he really doesn't know why you're upset with him. And, you know, it was, if it's about the wedding, it was just, you know, like his kid's passport last minute, like didn't come through.
This is the thing. I would understand mm-hmm. that. It's the fact that, you know, me and Bo had texted him and Brittany weeks prior saying, we hear you're talking a little shit.
Oh.
About how you're not going to be coming to our wedding, mm-hmm. which is interesting because
you are
you RSVP'd. Have RSVP'd and I'm, you're our closest, some of our closest friends. So mm-hmm. What the fuck is mm-hmm. that? And they denied. I gave them the opportunity
to back out.
Yes. And they didn't. And then as I was getting on the plane, the day I left for the airport to fly to Italy, I got a text from Brittany. So like that feels way more hurtful.
Yes.
There are lots of friends that couldn't make it to my wedding. And Lala couldn't make it to my wedding.
You had such a small wedding.
Yes. And I think that was a huge part of why it hurt even more, because I had to cut so many family members, mm-hmm. so many people that I would have loved to have been there. Mm-hmm. So they took up two spaces.
Right.
And then we're just, you know, Jax was doing what Jax does. Yeah. And texting, talking shit.
Well, that's really hurtful to talk shit about someone's wedding.
And damn. For him to say, what really bothers me is when, it feels weird to even be talking about, because it's like a year later, and I understand people are like, get over it. I'm like, I am over it, but that doesn't mean that I have to go be besties with people again. Yeah. I think what hurts the most, too, is that he's like, Weirder went to their first wedding.
And I'm like, oh, he did say that.
We didn't get to have one. We literally just signed papers
and in your backyard,
and,
right?
In Katie's backyard during my baby shower, yeah. during COVID with less than 10 people. Right. And I had specifically said, you guys are just witnessing us signing these mm-hmm. papers. This is not our wedding. We're still hoping we can get married in Italy. Like, they knew that it wasn't a wedding. It's not a fucking wedding.
No, and also, like, that's so funny because the way he said it at first, I was like, wait, Stassi's been married before?
No, I know. Like, he's her first husband. First wedding.
Yeah. I was like, wait, what am I missing? I thought Bo was her first husband.
Yeah, listen, like, I miss them at times, and like I love catching, like I follow them mm-hmm. still and see what they're up to in their lives, and Cruz is so cute mm-hmm. and all of that. But like, they hurt me.
Yep.
They really did. And it feels like I can't trust them.
Yeah. Anymore. You're totally entitled to like be upset. And I had a feeling, I love Jax, but like, you know, I relate to Jax in this way. Like, I see things through my own lens. And sometimes, like, when somebody else will recount a story to me, I'm like, no, that's literally not how it happened. You know what I mean? No, I know. I'm like, I'm telling you I was there. And I'm not a reliable witness. You know, Jackie always says that. Like, if I tell Jackie a story, she has to, like, hear it from someone else to, like, make sure I'm not lying. And I'm not lying. I just, like, how I experienced it. I swear.
100%. No, there are times Bo and I joke all the time because, like, Bo will remember something. And I'm like, you're remembering that I told you this story. You weren't even there.
No.
He's like, yes, I was there. I'm like, you're not there. You were not there.
No, that's so
bad. That was a girls' night, Bo.
Oh, speaking of girls' night, we got some gorgeous Instagram story footage from you about the new sandwich shop. Can you give us an update? Like, when is that? It looked ready to go.
I feel like it's going to open this summer. I feel like it's like not far off. It's so beautiful. It's like Parisian chic meets like Montecito.
Jackie and I both said when you posted those Instagram stories, aesthetically it reminded me a lot of you. Like, very
you,
Parisian.
Yeah, and there's like blue and white.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
It was very Stassi.
Gold touches.
It was beautiful.
No, I mean, I'm so happy for them. And I'm happy for myself because I feel like there aren't that many good sandwich mm-hmm. shops in Los Angeles. So I'm like, y'all are going to be on Postmates. Right?
Right.
You know, Uber Eats. I just.
You think you'll get free sandwiches or you're going to support local female owned businesses?
I'm going to support.
Okay,
yeah.
Good for you. Couldn't be me. If I know someone with a restaurant, I'm like, yeah, I'll be there at 10 o'clock.
Sir doesn't even give me free food.
Really?
The way that I have bled out for Sir.
That's, do you eat at Sir?
If I were to go into dinner,
I'd get a bill.
I would get it 100%, yeah.
That's like disgusting.
It's a little wild, but it's okay.
Two things. One, can you pull your mic a little bit closer to your mouth?
Yes, I'm so sorry. No, normally I have headphones on.
So you can hear yourself.
So I can hear when I'm, yeah.
And my second thing is, what is your current relationship status with LVP?
Every time I see her, she has been so lovely and so nice. I think the last time I saw her, we went to her house for Pandora's son's birthday. Right. And I'm great.
Good.
Great.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Now, you are a big pop culture girly, which is why you're one of
fuck yeah, I am. Let's do this.
You're one of my favorite people to co-host with because there's no, like, you know, with Ben, sometimes I have to like be like, so then this happened. I know. Like, she's from that movie. You remember her? Yeah. We watched it on the plane. Like,
yeah.
You don't require any sort of backstory. No,
let's
explaining.
Do this shit.
Now, before we dive in, I do have one Sex and the City story. And when I have a co-host on, I always like to ask them their thoughts on the Sex and the City characters, because I feel like it sets a good, because I have like, I have hot takes.
Oh, no, we have hot takes. Although I don't think my takes are hot anymore. Okay, I think that we've all collectively agreed that Carrie is the fucking worst.
Okay, so that's pretty much, I just wanted to make sure that you agreed with that. Yes. Because like, I hate.
No, when I tell you, like when I meet women who are like, no, Carrie's the best, I'm like, you need to be weeded out of the world.
No, you obviously haven't rewatched the show as like an adult.
Correct.
With responsibilities and friends. Because as a kid, sure, yes, she's the most fabulous and she's like the main character. So you're like, oh, she's the best. Then you rewatch as you get older. You're like, wait, this bitch is the fucking worst.
So selfish.
So selfish. So financially irresponsible.
Yes.
That could never be me. Like, literally has... That episode where she, I always bring this up. Asks Charlotte
to give her ring. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
No, it's like if that episode were to happen nowadays, no. That show, no, canceled.
Growing up is realizing Carrie was the villain of that show. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And agreed. Honestly, we grow up thinking like Miranda's the worst.
No, Miranda's the best.
Yep.
I know, whenever I say that, people are like, you're just trying to be a contrarian. No. I'm like, no, I'm not.
No, I'm sorry. Miranda's so funny. Mm-hmm. She's so cynical, which is what makes her funny. And I feel like that's very New York. Of her. Mm-hmm. And I think we all just judged her because she had like weird outfits and like a weird haircut, and like that wasn't the vibe. We were more into like the fabulosity of the show, and she doesn't really contribute in terms of like fabulousness.
Yeah,
but she is. And I'm not talking about the new show, because the new show is horrible. I'm talking about like the OG show. She was the best. Her and Samantha.
No, I mean, I honestly, I love Charlotte too.
Me too, but she's not my favorite. But she's not my least favorite.
I mean, Carrie. I don't have a favorite. Honestly, I'm thinking about it. Besides least favorite. Yeah. But yeah. No, Carrie sucks.
Okay. I just wanted to like down make with sure. Carrie. Because like, I can't with people who are like, Carrie, I'm such a Carrie. I'm like, okay, so you're the worst. All right, you guys, Stassi's going to help me. She's going to do what we do best. The Fast Five stories that you need to know. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's so easy to get caught up on what everyone else needs from you and never take a moment to think about what you need from yourself. I mean, everyone knows I'm such a giver. I never think about myself. I'm kidding. But like when you're a friend, a sister, a wife, a daughter, it's just hard to like, you know, really always be thinking about yourself, and taking care of your mental health is so important. When we spend all of our time giving, it really can leave us feeling stretched thin and burned out. Therapy gives you the tools to find more balance in your life so you can keep supporting others without leaving yourself behind. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely done online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists for any time, no additional charge. That's the best part of BetterHelp, I think. Like, when you go to therapy, I think it's really common that you meet a therapist and it's just not the right match. They're an amazing therapist, but it's just not the right match for you. It's so personal. It's more personal than comedy. So BetterHelp takes all that awkwardness out of it. It's done entirely online. If you want to switch to somebody who you think you might be like better suited with, it's just not awkward. There's no waiting rooms. There's no awkward phone calls. It's done entirely online. So whatever medium you're most comfortable with, like if you want to talk on the phone, if you want to video chat, if you want to text, you can do all that with your therapist from BetterHelp. It's so accessible. It's more affordable than therapy. Find more balance with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/toast today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/toast. BetterHelp.com/toast, TOAST. Thank you, BetterHelp, for sponsoring today's episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Roback. I think it's safe to say everyone is talking about Roback. Whether it's their performance hoodies, their polos, or their Q-zips, we always make sure to recommend Roback for the man in your life. If you want your man looking good, then get him Roback. Now, of course, the man in your life is important, but what's more important than you? Nothing. And Roback's skorts, so many of their items are amazing. We're excited to recommend for all of the ladies. They just relieved active skorts and dresses, and we are obsessed. It's perfect for a day out on the courts, a walk with your dog, a nice jog. You know, it's summertime. We've got to be looking out for our thighs. And wearing a skort is my favorite summertime hack. I deal with chub rub. I deal with chafing. And wearing a skort is just the best. There's nothing better. And it's such a cute look. You don't have to worry about like the wind blowing up your skirt. There's a million reasons why you should wear a skort. And the one from Roback is so cute. Their dresses are so cute. The active dresses feature their trademarked GTG technology so that you don't have to take your dress all the way off when you got to go to the bathroom. Their liner also doesn't ride up. It has great stretch and hidden pockets for all of your essentials, which is the best. Their joggers and hoodie sets are the softest pieces of clothing that we own. If you want to be comfortable, then these joggers and hoodies are for you. We haven't taken them off since we received them. They're just that good. With summer quickly approaching, make make sure to check out Roback while you're at it. We strongly recommend treating yourself as well. Use code TOAST at Roback.com for a crazy generous 20% off your first order of performance skorts, joggers, and hoodies. That's spelled R-H-O-B-A-C-K.com. That's 20% off with the code TOAST at Roback.com. And the first one, we haven't had a show since Friday, so there was like so much news. Jackie was so jealous that you were coming in today.
Wait, this is so annoying because last time I was here, Jackie wasn't here. I've wanted to have this, like, the three of us.
I know.
Really just do the damn thing.
Maybe me and Jackie were actually talking, like, after she gives birth. We need to do, like, an LA week.
Yes.
So you would be a perfect LA week
person. Yeah, because don't leave me out.
I promise.
I will get the fucking FOMO.
I promise. All right, Kourtney Kardashian has debuted her baby bump days after announcing her pregnancy at Travis Barker's concert. So Travis Barker and Kourtney Kardashian are welcoming a baby 2 days after announcing they're expecting their first child together. The Kardashian star gave fans a closer look at her pregnancy. She took to Instagram on June 18th and she bared her bump in a series of photos taken at Travis's Blink-182 concert where she made the big reveal. So there was like a lot of chatter about the big reveal because at first everyone was like, oh my God, Kourtney's pregnant. Let's unpack that. Mm-hmm. Then everybody wanted to unpack the announcement. I think a lot of people didn't understand like the pop culture reference and right. thought that she was just she was standing there. And
that she was telling Travis for the first time.
In front of all these
which
people.
Which is not her vibe. No, that is not their vibe.
I mean, he's so fucking up her ass. Like, yes. You think there's one thing that goes on in her body that he doesn't know
100%.
About? 100%. He probably could like sense her ovulating just like from her aura. Like they're so connected. There's no way. And I don't think people understood that like it's a reference from his old music video where some girl's like standing outside his concert holding a sign that says, yeah. Travis, I'm pregnant. Mm-hmm. So once you understand that, like, you know for sure that it's not his finding out moment.
I think that was her equivalent to like someone like me being a basic bitch and posting a sonogram photo on Instagram.
100%. You know? I thought hers was so creative and so cute.
Yeah.
I loved it. At first, I didn't understand the reference immediately. So I also was like, wait, is she telling him? And then some people were like accusing them of being fraudulent, being like, he actually knew. This is fake. Like people are so dumb.
No, stop.
But now looking at it at a glance, having all the information, I thought it was so cute.
What do they think? Do people really think that yes. she's going to keep that secret and announce to the world the same time she announces to her husband?
No, that's so impersonal.
Yeah.
And they're so like, you know, they're so connected.
Yes.
And by the way, she's pretty far along. She has like a bump.
I saw the bump, I was like,
what do you think? She's like 5 months?
I don't know months. I like think in terms of weeks.
Okay.
I want to say like she's giving like 17 week energy.
So it's between like 4 and 5, right?
Right? I think so. Isn't
honestly,
that what it is?
Pregnancy math makes.
It's no, it fucking sucks.
Literally no sense to me. And what makes less sense to me is toddler math.
Oh no, I'm good at that.
Like how old is Hartford? When people ask.
Oh, I don't do that anymore. She's 2.5.
Okay, she's once not they 30
turn
months.
Two, once they turn two, I don't do that anymore.
Okay, but she was like 18.
She was 23 months.
You were saying that?
Yeah.
That confuses me, but like I guess there really is such a difference between like a 20 month and a 22 month.
There
right?
is like
in terms of milestones.
You should know because you have so many nieces yeah. and nephews. So like
it is different.
They're so different.
But like
you turn two, I feel like it.
You're like a kid now.
Yeah,
yeah. Are the terrible twos a real thing?
The way I was so excited for this trip. The way I was so excited to bring
Hartford's in New York.
She's in New York. I'm like, she's going to be like Hartford at the Carlisle, you know, like mm-hmm. Eloise at the Plaza. But like,
yep.
She's just like, I can't wait. I planned so many things for her. So many gorgeous,
fabulous
fun activities. The way she has channeled the brattiest version of herself and had tantrum after tantrum. We've had to leave every dinner and lunch early.
I'm
just like, I get so, my blood has run cold in public so many yeah. times because I'm just so embarrassed.
Do you think she's like jet lagged?
I don't know. Maybe.
It's just
jokes that like, you know, we did go to the Plaza for tea and he's like the ghost, you know, when like in The Conjuring, when like a ghost latches onto a family, yep. It's like Eloise latched onto Hartford.
And you need to have an exorcism.
100%. But it has been so nice having her here. But yeah, we keep just looking at each other and being like, it's a phase. Like we'll survive. We'll yeah. survive. Terrible twos. That's why they say terrible twos.
And I'm sure when you travel without her, it's like so devastating. And then she's here and she's ruining it. Like you can't win.
No, I know. Seriously.
Damn. Well, I find this news like so cute and shocking because on this show, the Kardashians, they had spoken about how they did like intensive IVF, IUI. Yeah. Like she got her eggs retrieved and it just wasn't in the cards and it was really hard on her. And she was like, you know what? It's in God's plan now. So to see somebody who tried so hard and like it didn't work out and then just like kind of, you know, let go of the idea and be like, what happens, happens. For it to happen for her, like, I actually think is so sweet.
I think that the Kardashians can do anything they put their minds to.
I know.
Like, I really, what do you think? Can I ask you something about the Kardashians?
Please.
Have you been on the TikTok, like, path where people are talking about how the Kardashians are on their way out?
I have. And Jackie and I
try and swipe out of it because I don't like that content. Yeah.
Jackie and I have spoken about it. I don't think that they're on their way out. I think they're definitely experiencing, like, some sort of, like, flop era.
But that's good.
Yeah, and I think it's natural. It's just they haven't really had one this, like, monumental. But I think it was a series of unfortunate events.
But the only way to have an epic comeback
or to
show any growth or change is to have a flop era. So, like, everyone needs a flop era every now and then.
And I think something like this, where it's, like, so wholesome, this pregnancy, so wholesome, the announcement was not, like, you know, tacky, or it was just, like, really sweet. I think things like this really endear people to the Kardashians because at the end of the day, like, they are a family. And the things that are important to them are really the things that are important to most people, like, you know, loyalty, and they're very, you know, they're religious, like, faith. I think a lot of people connect to, like, a lot of their core values. And so something like this, I think, reminds people, like, they're really, at the end of the day, they're just like a family. And, you know, Courtney wanted to get pregnant, and that was something she struggled with that so many people struggle with. So, like, this, something like this, I think, is really good for the family. And they have had, like, a hard year in terms of, like, public perception, I think. But I don't think they're out.
No,
forever.
I don't think they're ever going to be out.
No, no.
What do you think about Kylie Jenner dressing like Sofia Richie now?
I love it. Jackie had a really interesting take on it that, like, totally changed my perception of, I think, for a really long time, like, the cool way of dressing was, like, very provocative and thoughty. Mm-hmm. And that's just not a trend I'll ever participate in. One, because my body limits me in that. But also, it's just, like, not my style.
I could be the hottest bitch out there. I could look like Lala Kent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I would never dress.
I can't. Like, it just, I feel uncomfortable.
Same. It's not who I am. And that's not judging other people who do. It's just not who I am. And so for Sofia Richie to make dressing modest, cool, is such a powerful thing, because now all these girls who used to, like, run around with their tits out are now, like, wearing blazers and slacks. It's actually amazing what she's done for the culture.
Okay. I have a hot take.
Let's hear it.
I don't like it because I feel like that's already the style that I've had for so long. And now that it's popular, everyone's dressing like me,
but
then it's going to become unpopular, and I'm still going to be here left dressing granny chic, and then I'm going to look like I'm just behind on the trend.
But that is the most you thing ever, because you are proudly a basic bitch, and now the thing that you love the most, your style, has become the most kind of common borderline basic.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Now, actually, another, whenever I do, like, co-hosts, I'm always like, Jackie and I think this, but Jackie and I were just talking about this, how we really feel, like, strongly that you are not basic.
Wow.
You are, like, so different. Like, I feel like you march to the beat of your own drum. Like, you don't give a fuck what anyone thinks. And, like, yes, some of your interests, like ranch, yeah, it's, like, basic. But you really, at your core, like, you're not a basic person. You're, like, deeply original.
Okay, well, I think it all depends on your definition of basic.
That's true.
Because my definition of basic is just really, like, being unafraid to lean into the things that you really love. And it's, like, about being, like, passionate and excited about things. It's like Taylor Swift energy.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Like, that's my definition.
Not being embarrassed to be excited about something.
Correct. Like, that's my definition of basic.
Okay.
So when it comes to that, I feel like I'm truly basic.
That I agree with. But when I think it comes to, like, style and just, like, aesthetic and your home, like, your home is so, I've never walked, well, I've never been in your house, but I've never seen a house that was styled like that by, like, a young millennial woman.
Wait, thank you. That is one of the best compliments, like, right under, like, wow, Sassy, you're a really good mom. Like, telling me that, like, my home
style,
and the style of it is,
it's so different. Even the house that you bought is, like, an older, more charming home. I feel like all the houses in LA, like, look like mental institutions. They're, like, made of cement and windows. Like, you are so different in that sense, and you're so not basic in that.
Thank you.
But I understand your definition of basic, and I agree. And I love that Taylor Swift quote. Like, people, there's nothing worse than somebody who makes fun of someone for being excited about something. Who are like, why don't you just, like, lower your voice? Like, excuse me?
I haven't heard that one.
No, like, people who, like, tell you, like, calm down when you're excited about something.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah. Okay, the next story is, I know something you are, it's, like, so you, like, it's so something you would be obsessed with, and I think a lot of people are really kind of quaking about the search and rescue operation.
No,
that is underway for a submersible touring the wreck of the Titanic, basically a submarine. So officials are in a race against time to find a civilian submarine. They keep calling it a submersible, and I'm not calling it that. A submarine that had five people aboard after it went missing on Sunday in the North Atlantic while voyaging to the wreckage of the Titanic. The 21-foot vessel has 4 days of emergency capability, the leader of the search and rescue effort said Monday afternoon, as crews with the U.S. and Canadian Coast Guards continued scouring the ocean surface about 900 miles east of Cape Cod and used sonar to listen for sounds far below the surface, which is up to 13,000 feet deep in the area. So there are five people on board the vessel, which was an expedition to view the wreckage of the Titanic. It was comprised of one pilot and four mission specialists. They haven't identified the five people, but they have figured out who one of the people is based on social media, a British businessman based in the United Arab Emirates. Mm-hmm. His name is Hamish Harding, is one of the people on the submarine, according to a social media post by the company he owns. So
there's this morning I saw one of the people in there is a father and son, and the son is 19 years old. When I tell you I could not sleep last night.
I know.
I could not sleep. I just wanted to look at these videos, these TikToks, everything. Yep. Did you see that they did a tour of the submarine?
It's not big.
It's the smallest, and there's one little round window, and the controller that they use to control it is a PS3.
Excuse me?
I'm not fucking joking. I didn't make this up. It's in multiple TikToks, an interview that they did.
Here's what I don't understand, because I saw a picture of the submarine. I saw that little window. So if you're going to go all the way down to view the wreckage, and there's one tiny little window for five people.
I don't understand.
Oh, and Jackie also told me a crazy statistic. So they have 4 days of emergency supplies. I think I saw last night that they have probably 96 hours to find it. But Jackie had said, if they wanted to build a submarine that was powerful enough to go down and find to use for search and rescue, it would take 30 years for that submarine to be built. The equipment in order to properly find these people actually doesn't exist, which is what's so scary.
Oh my God. Well, yeah. Also, I read that the most dangerous rescue mission they've ever done was 11,000 feet higher than what this is. So they were able to find them, this will be the deepest rescue mission.
Right.
If I allow myself to think about it too much, it will be the only thing I think about. What are they doing right now?
No.
Are they doing? They're in there right now. Do you think that they're at the point where they've lost hope? Do you think that they're playing games? I don't know,
but also, and I didn't want to get too dark. Okay, so they say they have 4 days of emergency supplies. So that obviously means food, right?
And oxygen.
Oxygen. So what does that mean?
I think we're on 60 hours now.
So, but what does that mean? Does that mean what happens when you run out of oxygen? You just pass out and die?
Well, I don't know exactly the pain. Is right. it like you, do you
suffocate?
Fuck.
But there's also, there's also still air. They're in, do you know what I mean?
No, but it's not oxygen. It's not what you can
breathe.
It's not what you can breathe. But I also read that right now they could be getting hypothermia.
Oh, because they're so far down and it's so cold down there?
Yeah. And oh my God, there are so many videos on TikTok. Someone was doing an interview and they're he just had lost hope. The way that he was interviewing was he was this Titanic expert or submarine Titanic expert. Yeah. And he's just I think that something went wrong immediately. Yeah. And they're not even here anymore. Yeah. The pressure, the water pressure crushed it or something like that. Something went wrong.
But also the submarine being 21 feet, that's not big at all. No. So you're literally looking for a needle in a haystack because you're so far down.
But they're supposed to be by the Titanic. It's not like they're scanning a whole ocean.
That's so true.
I'm like, we know where they went.
By the way, if somebody would have asked me where the wreck of the Titanic was, I would not have said 900 miles off the coast of Cape Cod. I literally thought it was in London. I don't know. It was from London to New York. But they were pretty close, or to Boston, I think. But they were pretty close to Boston.
Okay. I didn't realize. So they were
they were more than halfway there, I think.
That's
unless the wreckage kind of floated. But I just was shocked at the map.
I'm just shocked at the whole thing. I feel I can't believe we're living in a time where this is happening.
I know.
It is. And to know that if something hasn't gone wrong, if they're still there, right now, as we're talking about this, they're working with each other on all, like,
I'm trying to figure out.
They're going through all of the emotions and all of the like phases of like accepting.
Right. That, and like, you can't just like disembark like and start swimming because you're literally so far down, right?
Yeah, no. You were just stuck in there.
And I think if you even like went swimming, like, not swimming, but like if they had
the
like
pressure, the water pressure,
the water pressure would kill you. Yeah, like, yeah, it's like freezing. It's so like the sea level,
it's like
is
being
crazy.
Shot out into space.
Right. So, and but this, like, is a private,
what about
mission?
Peeing and poo poo.
Oh my God, the bathroom.
No, I was thinking about that. There is like a little toilet on that one.
Right.
But it's, you're in there with it.
And there's five people.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, it's my worst nightmare. Like, but this isn't like an official government. It was like a private company doing this.
$250,000 a ticket.
That's insane. To see through one little window.
I mean, Taylor had a really good point because I asked her about it last night, and she was like, Taylor Strecker. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you know, these billionaires, like really wealthy people, it's like normal
thrill activities. Seeking.
Yeah, it's a thrill seeking thing. Like they get to experience so much of life that it's like, what can we push?
That's like, know, everyone going to space. That's also like $250,000 a ticket.
I would never.
I would never.
I have zero desire. Honestly, I have zero desire to leave my house on a Friday night.
100%. Like and do you know how uncomfortable that rocket ship is? Like, let's say something happened. We had to like chill in space for a while. Like, there's no bed. There's no TV. No. Like, I am so content here on Earth. Same. Earth has everything I need.
Agreed.
Uber, Seamless, Postmates. Like Uber Eats. Like, there's really, there's nothing I don't need that it doesn't exist for me here
no,
on Earth.
No, I agree.
So I will never be, and maybe it's just that I'm not rich enough, but I don't need to go to space.
No, it's not about being rich enough.
It's about being happy in your life.
Yes.
Like these people who pay $250,000 to go to space for 30 seconds, like, seriously, what's the point?
Wild.
This story is so sad. It's so scary. And it's just like, if you think about it too long, like,
no,
it's
freaking. That's what I mean. Like, if I allow my brain to really go there and really think about it, I fully spiral. And like, I really do recommend everyone looking up, like, searching on TikTok and seeing all these videos. Mm-hmm. Also, everyone in the comment section is like really savage and funny. And I'm like,
This is not the time.
Like, I'm not one to be like inappropriate.
Yeah.
Never.
Out of touch.
I never feel
Me
that
too.
Way. But like,
yeah,
you guys, they're dying.
Yeah, I
down
know.
There.
And do you think, like, I mean, then you also have to think about like the human nature element of it. It could very quickly turn like Lord of the Flies, you know? Once you know that like things are not going to end
know
well.
That, yeah, you know that the oxygen's going to run out, so maybe you kill the other four so that you can have more oxygen.
Right. Until people find you.
God.
No, like, it's, that's what happens. Like, you're kind of,
Claudia, in, no, the way that my brain did not go there.
You're like, survivor's instinct kicks in. You know there's only so much food, so much oxygen. Like, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh my God. Totally separate. I have to tell you the craziest thing that happened to me last night. People need to know what happened to me. Okay. Now, let me set the scene, okay? I read the spookiest thriller book before bed last night. It was so good. It was called Never Lie by Freda McFadden. I highly recommend. So I'm just like feeling on edge like before bed. I shouldn't have read it before bed, but it was so good. So Ben gets home. He had been to dinner. We like hang out, whatever. We're going to sleep. It's really early. It's like 10:30, but we have a long day today because we're driving to Boston. So I was like, you know what? Let's go to bed early. 10:30. My husband, like, one of the things I hate most about him, 10 seconds he could fall asleep.
Yeah, no.
He has nothing on his mind.
Bo too. I know. I have to take like massive amounts of melatonin. Yep. Like Unisom, don't worry, it's pregnancy safe. My doctor's approved it.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah.
So I'm just like annoyed, and it's like 10:30, it's 11, it's 11:30, it's 12. And at about like 12:30, Ben is passed out. I'm like I'm not asleep, but I'm starting to get tired, but I'm like, you know, let me pee. So I don't turn on any of the lights. And I'm sitting in the pitch black on the toilet and I'm peeing and I'm just kind of like looking down and I look up and in the doorway of the bathroom, there's a man.
Okay.
There's a man standing there.
Okay.
And I let out the most blood-curdling scream. It was actually, you know, I've never been in like, knock wood, thank God, like immense danger before, but that's, I never knew what sound my voice would make if I was ever in like,
fight or flight.
Right. I don't even remember. It was blood. Like scream. And as I'm screaming, I realize that the man in front of me is Ben. And it's pitch black. So Ben doesn't see me on the toilet. He's trying to pee.
But he didn't know you were in there.
He didn't know I was in there, and I didn't know he was in there. So he's trying to go pee, and he hears this like five alarm fire, crazy scream. And Ben then lets out, like, he was just trying to pee and it's pitch black. He just hears a woman screaming. He starts screaming, like, his kind of danger, like, danger, danger, scream.
What does his sound like?
Honestly, I was so triggered, I don't even remember. We just both, I'm sitting on the toilet, he's standing in the doorway of the bathroom. We're both just screaming. And, you know, after a few seconds, we both realize we're not in danger and that the woman screaming in the bathroom is me. Right. And the man standing in the doorway is Ben. But when I tell you, like, it took me 25 seconds to, like, realize what was going on, to calm down. I literally called my doorman because I'm like, our neighbors are going to think it was like an actual, if you had woken up in the middle of the night with a knife over you, that's the sounds we were making.
Correct. Okay.
I called the doorman and I was like, if anybody calls you about a scream, like, it was me, we're fine. It was just like a misunderstanding. But I'm like, I couldn't decide whose fault it was. And I also couldn't decide whose experience was more scary. It was clearly Ben's fault. Like, he didn't realize getting out of bed that I wasn't in the bed. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I can imagine for Ben, it's pitch black. He's just going to pee, and all of a sudden, he hears like the most insane, like
high pitch. And you have like Samara vibes with your hair.
What's Samara? Is that the woman?
The ring.
The ring. Yeah. No, yeah. But I am a firm believer. Like, I believe my experience was more scary. Like, to just look up and see the shadow of a man standing in your bathroom, I mean, in the middle of the night when you've already read this book.
I don't feel like it's a competition. It seems very equal.
No,
it,
I think, feels mine was very scary.
Equal.
Whose fault was it?
Well, definitely wasn't your fault.
Yes,
no, I agree. Like, it definitely wasn't your fault. Whether it was anyone's fault is questionable. That's up for debate. But like, it wasn't yours.
And the most insane thing, like, I'm shaking, Stassi. Like, I'm like on the verge of tears. I don't know whether to laugh or cry because the whole thing is so absurd. But I'm like, I'm actually like shaking. I'm like, Ben, like, we get back in bed. I'm like, he's passed out. I'm like, you don't want to talk about what just happened? He's like so tired. I'm like, are you?
Oh my God.
I'm like, are you okay? Like, you're asleep right now. How can you sleep at a time like this?
Oh my God.
Passed out. And then this morning he woke up. I'm like, we need to talk about last night. He's like, what happened? I'm like, what?
Wait, like, it's a fight that you guys got in?
You know,
that were like, that you went to bed angry and after you woke up and you're like, we need to discuss it.
After 10 seconds, he's like, oh yeah, that was crazy. I'm like, crazy? That was psychotic. Oh my God, I totally forgot about that until this morning. Thank you for letting me. Like, it was the craziest. I have to stop reading thrillers before bed.
Don't you get nervous or like embarrassed that like your neighbors might think that like you're having a domestic like dispute?
Something dispute. Like,
yeah.
The thing is, people in my building are so like not nosy.
Oh, that's
like they
nice.
Keep to themselves. But then I'm like, I wish you would be nosy because I'm screaming in the middle of the night.
Good point. Good point.
Yeah. And the next, I did find out this morning, somebody did call, which like made me, I was like, oh, thank God. Because if something actually happened, I want, you know, everyone calling once I scream.
Yeah.
So it made me feel good. But the second we stopped screaming, my first instinct, that's like so New York, I was like, I have to call the doorman. Because like, it was such a crazy sound that I made. And I was worried about my neighbors.
Sounds like it was like a wild animal screech.
It was. Not human.
I'm sorry that happened to you.
Isn't that a crazy story?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Today's episode is brought to you by Squarespace. It is the space to sell anything. Squarespace has the tools that you need to get your business off the ground, including e-commerce templates, inventory management, a simple checkout process, and secure payments. So whatever you're selling, Squarespace has merchandising features to make your products look their best online. You got to check out squarespace.com/toast for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code TOAST to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. So whatever the reason is for wanting to start a website, I feel like you need a website these days, Squarespace is really the best of the best. I have used many different platforms. I've built a lot of websites over the years, and I can tell you confidently Squarespace is the easiest one. I don't have a background in computer science or engineering, but for my job, I find myself really needing to make a lot of different websites, and I love Squarespace, especially for e-commerce. They make it so easy. E-commerce websites can be like really unnecessarily confusing and hard to make, but they have so many different great tools at Squarespace, like the traffic overview. You can see how your visits, unique visitors, and page views are trending. You can get insight into the top traffic sources, product device products, device types, browsers, operating systems. But what I really love about Squarespace is their content ownership. You own all the content that you put in on the Squarespace platform. They offer a one-click data portability. Again, if you want to check out Squarespace, go to squarespace.com/toast for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use the offer code TOAST to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That code is TOAST, T-O-A-S-T. Today's episode is also brought to you by Vegamore. We are always trying to do right by our bodies. So when it comes to hair and scalp health, finding a product that actually works and is made with clean ingredients always seems like a trade-off. But with Vegamore, we get products that are made with clean ingredients and give us visibly healthy hair and scalp. Jackie has been on the clean beauty trend for a while. For her hair, she's had a lot of different regrowth phases because she was, you know, pregnant and then postpartum. And I've recently, very sadly, started to experience hair shedding. So I'd never really been looking for products before that helped with that. And my immediate go-to was Vegamore because Jackie loved it. So many of you guys recommend it. We love the Grow Kit. So the value kits, like the Grow Essentials Kit, is where you get to try more than one amazing product, but you also get it at a great savings. When you sign up for a monthly subscription, you save more and you never run low on the products that you need to take care of your hair. The key is consistency for your routine. So if you want healthy looking hair, use Vegamore. We use the Grow. I use it daily. The hair serum is amazing. The shampoo and conditioner is also amazing too. We're using it daily. My scalp is flourishing. There's a noticeable difference in my shedding. They sell one bottle of that Grow serum every 15 seconds on their website. That's how good that stuff is. Give yourself the hair you never thought you could have with Vegamore. For a limited time, the Toast listeners get 20% off their first order by going to vegamore.com/toast and using code TOAST at checkout. That's Vegamore, spelled V-E-G-A-M-O-U-R. .com/toast, code toast, to save 20% off your first order. That's vegamour.com/toast, code toast, T-O-A-S-T. Thank you, Vegamore, for sponsoring today's episode. Speaking of a crazy story, just trying to segue here, Bebe Rexha was hospitalized. Actually the craziest thing, and the whole thing was caught on camera.
I saw.
So she says she's good after being hit in the face with a phone on stage, which doesn't sound as bad as it actually is. So Bebe Rexha was struck in the face and injured by a cell phone during a concert in New York City, and the man who threw it has been arrested. So she was knocked to the ground during her Sunday night show at the rooftop at Pier 17 in Lower Manhattan. The phone hit Bebe on the forehead in the middle of a song, splitting her eyebrow and requiring stitches. She was escorted immediately off the stage and treated by a medical team at the venue, as seen in footage on TikTok. So the guy who threw the phone, his name is Nicholas Malvagna. He's 27. He's from Manalapan, New Jersey, and he is accused of throwing the phone. He was arrested at the venue, charged with felony assault for using his cell phone as a weapon. The NYPD confirmed to People magazine. He will be arraigned later Monday. Police confirmed that Bebe Rexha was taken to a nearby hospital in stable condition. She posted on Instagram sharing what appeared to be like a brutal wound.
Yeah.
Saying I'm good in a nod to her latest hit song. So she's handling it like a champ, but the footage is like really upsetting.
No, it's wild.
Like, I hate this guy.
Yes.
At first, I couldn't tell if it was like an accident. Cause you know, a lot of artists will be like, give me your phone. Mm-hmm. And like, maybe, you know, she wanted to like record something and he tossed it. But it was very like, I wasn't sure, but then.
No, it looked like a. It was a phone flying through the air.
Overhand, not underhand.
But like, who's going to pay money to go to a show where they're going to use their own phone to hurt someone?
It makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
I know. And it's like, it's not like even something you can do anonymously. It's your phone. We just open it up and see who's in the background and we know it's you.
Yeah.
You can't get away with this sort of crime.
Like, I want to know, like, was this fully premeditated and how long? Like, was he planning it for weeks, days?
That's what people are so deeply unwell.
No, 100%.
And as
somebody who tours.
Yeah, I know. It's my worst nightmare.
Wait, the other night when we were on stage, all of a sudden there was this deep, giant, ominous scream.
Oh my God.
From someone in the audience. We thought it was, it was it. Like,
yeah.
We thought like, and all of a sudden they were going, you're just a worm with a mustache.
Oh.
But when I tell you, I thought it was over. It was like the great and powerful Oz sounding in the audience, and me, Bo, and Taylor froze. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this is it.
Yep.
Like, this is fully it. I couldn't even like get the words out to be like, everybody get under your seat, get under your seat. And it was somebody saying, you're just a worm with a mustache.
So I totally know what you're talking about. It's like the littlest things when you're on stage, you're so vulnerable. Like the littlest things, like a footstep or somebody getting up to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
That freaks me out. Like sometimes I'll hear people like walking just to like go to the bar or go to the bathroom, but it sounds, because of like the echo on the stage, it sounds like they're coming from behind me and it freaks me out. I'm like always like on edge, and it's hard because you're like trying to perform and like, you know, entertain people, but you're so on edge that I know exactly, like sometimes just the tone of someone's voice at the very beginning can just set you off and make you think you're in danger.
Yes.
So for something like this to actually happen. Oh my God. It's my worst nightmare. I feel so bad for her. And she's like having such a good attitude about the whole thing.
Like,
but
how does she ever go and perform again?
I don't know.
I'd be like, that's it for me.
I know.
That's it.
I mean, music concerts are more like high energy, and I feel like crazier things happen at music concerts, but still, like, how do you even prevent this from happening? You can't take people's phones.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm like, this is like such an upsetting story.
Yeah.
And her face looks like brutal. No,
it's like a full-blown black eye.
Stitches.
Yeah.
Her eye is purple. It's like bulging. It's like a major, you just think a phone is a phone, but a phone is very heavy.
Yes.
And when, you
know, when it's being thrown.
Chucked.
And when you least expect it, you're singing in your cute outfits.
Yeah. I feel so bad for her.
Yeah.
It's really upsetting, and I really hope she's okay. And like, honestly, I hope this man gets what's coming to him so that it like discourages anyone else from doing this.
Completely.
Because if people think they can get away with stuff like this, people are not well.
Yes, I know.
People are insane.
I'm like, I have 3 shows left. Now I'm fucking scared.
I know. I can't lie. Like, I can't wait for your tour to be over. Like, you've took away like my only friend.
I'm sorry.
I don't have a lot.
Like, I'm sorry. Literally only 3 days left. Three shows left.
Where are the remaining shows? Are there tickets available?
I don't know that there's tickets available. It's LA.
Oh, that's a big one.
Portland.
Is that your birthday?
It's my birthday.
That's exciting.
Well, I'm scared about that one because I feel like if there are people that don't like me, they're going to be in LA. And like if they wanted to show up and throw a phone at me, that would be the location.
Not to like be so self-promotional, but did you ever read my book? It's okay if you didn't.
I did not.
That's totally fine. So there is by the way, I'm literally not offended.
In all fairness, you didn't send me one?
I didn't.
No. So I need to go.
I'll send
out
you
and,
home with a copy.
I need to go and
but
purchase
I'm not.
One.
I'm not offended in the slightest. Like I swear to God, I don't take it personally. Like my husband, like I had to literally hold a gun to his head for him to read my book. I know, but it's fine. But there is a story in there actually that has to deal with Taylor Strecker. When I got canceled, I had like no work and I had no money coming in. So like the only thing I could really do to like generate revenue and just like get out of my house was to do live shows, which is like the scariest thing.
Yeah.
Because you just think, you know, you always think your situation is worse than it is, but like mine was pretty bad. And I was like, everyone hates me. And Taylor Strecker called me like the day of my show. And she was like, I do not want to give you a pit. Like, I don't want to give you anxiety, but I just heard this thing. And I didn't know what to do with this information. So like, I have to give it to you. She's like, I forget who it was, but it was somebody like reputable who like works in the industry had told Taylor Strecker that people were planning to protest outside my show. Uh-huh. And she was like, I don't know what you want to do, but like, I just thought I should tell you. And I'm like, oh my God, thank you. I was so panicky. I mean, I had no choice. It was literally the day of the show. It ended up raining really bad that night and nobody ever protested. And I don't know if that's because the rumor was a lie or because, you know, my sense of self-importance was just like, you know, way blown out of proportion or because it was raining. But it was the scariest night of my life.
No, Claudia, the way I would have probably canceled.
I know. I thought about it.
Like that's terrifying, especially I know what that feels like when you're in a situation when you're canceled.
But it's like canceled, but people get so invested that they become maniacal.
And yes, and you literally fear for your life at times.
The thought of somebody like doing something crazy and like bringing a knife or something is not that far-fetched.
It's not far-fetched. Be like, it happens to people.
Yep.
Quite often.
Yeah.
Yes.
Far more than you would think than it does.
Yes.
So that just reminded me of, to have that panic. But no, your LA show is going to be amazing. And you're doing the Will Turn?
No, we did the Will Turn. I'm doing the Ace Hotel.
I've done it. It's literally the most beautiful.
The Ace Hotel?
It's insanely gorgeous.
That's what everyone says. All the photos that I keep looking at, I'm like, oh, it looks like the Gilded
Age.
Yes,
it's so you.
Yeah.
By the way, whatever happened to the show, The Gilded Age? I feel like
it's coming back.
Is it?
Yeah.
When?
I just know that it is. Like,
okay.
Because I researched to be
and
like.
And you know it wasn't canceled.
I know for a fact it was not canceled. It was not as good as I wanted it to be, but it still fed my soul.
And it got much better. Like, I do think the second season will be very good.
Yeah, I think so too.
Like, the first few episodes where they were like setting the scene, I was like, my God, this is so fucking boring.
I think that like what made it kind of like not what I thought is like, you look at something like Downton Abbey and they have like the real locations.
Yeah.
It's like you're seeing the. You're seeing
the actual place,
castle. Yeah. You're seeing the grounds.
Yep.
Whereas on Gilded Age, there was so much like CGI and sets that like...
No, that's actually a really good point.
That to me, it like kind of took us out of it.
And actually a good segue into our next story is I think one of the things that ruined it was Cynthia Nixon being in it.
I agree with you.
Not because she's a bad actress.
No, I love Cynthia Nixon, but I agree with you.
She's too famous to play anything other than Miranda.
I completely agree with you.
Which is a great segue into our next story. Sarah Jessica Parker and Kristen Davis are both speaking out about Kim Cattrall's big return. We heard from Kim. We did not hear from the other ladies. And now we have. So she spoke to Page Six and said, according to, after Kim Cattrall's return, she says, it's been a lot of joy.
Okay.
That's what she had to say about Kim Cattrall's brief appearance. She also said, it was really fun and exciting and certainly nostalgic.
Okay. That the follow-up is better.
Yeah.
But... in no way has it been a lot of joy for SJP.
No, I have like a theory, and I don't think it's like that far-fetched because it's been made like clear that like the narrative is that Kim Cattrall is the one who's difficult. None of the other ladies got along with her. So it's like when three people say you're difficult, you know? So I understand that's how it works, but I can totally see a world in which Sarah Jessica Parker is the villain of this story and like Kim Cattrall is the victim. I know I sound crazy. Maybe I'm just biased. Maybe I'm also
Don't sound crazy. This is like a little more popular of an opinion than you would think.
But maybe I'm also just seeing the situation through the lens of their characters, which is not fair.
I know. I think it's because Sarah Jessica Parker gives it's like she's always trying to look like the goody two-shoes one. Yep. You know what I mean?
And nobody's like that, sorry.
And no one's like that all the time.
Especially like a big Hollywood star.
Yes, like it's okay. Like we want to see a little bit of realness. We want to see a little bit of cattiness. Like, it's real. No one is that good all the time.
I agree.
And I think that's what
people are like start to see through it.
Yes, I think it's like the same thing that like the same problem that people have with Meghan Markle.
Yes.
Is that like they're like, where's the relatability? You're just trying to be so perfect good and perfect.
That's actually a really good comparison. What do you think about her podcast drama?
It's fucking wild.
It's wild.
No, it's like really wild. And that guy, what's his name? Bill Simmons or
From The Ringer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who is now a Spotify executive coming out and calling them fucking grifters.
Well, I mean, I don't think it could be considered a grift because I don't think they got paid their full contract because they didn't deliver. You don't just get paid immediately. You get paid once you deliver and finish certain requirements of you. So I think they maybe got like 5 or 6 or 7 million, but they definitely didn't get the full 20.
I mean, but I also feel like when you sign a contract. I realized
that was Bill Simmons who said that. Yeah, he started The Ringer.
Yes.
And then got acquired by Spotify. And now he's, yeah.
I just think that when they signed that contract, they had to have talked about the fact that, okay, we're going to do 12 episodes. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think that was news to anyone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do think, I mean, I listened to the podcast and I'm a huge Meghan Markle fan, so I wanted to like it so bad.
I know.
I tried so hard, but I think what she's missing is that relatability. I think she's scared to
be honest.
Like, to really be honest and to really like let her flaws show.
Because people are just pounce anytime she does anything exactly. Even
remotely
wrong.
And I understand
wrong.
That yep. She's in that position. I understand why she doesn't want to show any weakness or anything that she feels people could criticize.
Judge.
But that is what we want to see.
No, and that's what really, like, that's what podcasting is. It was so overproduced and so scripted and, like, so, felt like a TV show.
Yeah.
That's not what podcasting is. Podcasting is sitting here and me being like, pull your mic closer. Like, it's so
Yeah, it's
raw.
Like feeling like you're in the room with them and you're friends with them, you're talking, or you're a fly on the wall. Yeah.
And it was not that. And now it's also coming out that, like, you know, her voice was actually, like, added in later.
Well, like, I knew that. I could tell by listening to it. I'm like, she didn't interview a lot of these people. Some of them she did.
Yeah.
But, like, some of them, no. Like,
did you read Andy Cohen's recent book?
No.
I think you would like it. Okay. Well, I feel like it's, like, weird because you have, like, a thing with Andy. Like, you obviously know him. But it's actually a really good book. It's a lot about parenthood, so I feel like you would like that.
Okay.
But there's a thing about Meghan Markle in it that I found so interesting.
Oh, tell me.
So he did her podcast.
Yes.
And he had said, they did this really long interview, and he brought up, he said, were you silent or were you silenced? And he was like really proud of himself for just like putting that in. And then they get to the podcast, it actually comes out, and they cut out his Oprah thing. He was really upset about that.
Yeah.
But then before they aired his interview on the podcast, Meghan gives, you know, one of her like pre-recorded spiels.
Right.
Basically saying how she was like kind of nervous to interview Andy because she feels like Housewives and Bravo like hasn't been great for women and like feminism. And he was like, what the fuck? Like, you never said that to me in the interview. And like, maybe if you did, we would have had a much more complex and dynamic and interesting conversation and the podcast wouldn't have been so fucking boring.
Right.
But like, to say that as like a precursor to the interview and then not bring it up is like so tacky. And maybe there is a conversation to be had. I hate that. I hate that sentiment that people say Housewives is bad for women. Like, I don't agree with that. But like, to say it and then not say it to my face is like so cowardly.
I didn't know that.
I know. It was so interesting.
I know. I feel like she just keeps making like all the wrong decisions.
Yes.
And like, I will forever root for her. Mm-hmm. I really, because I feel like she's in an impossible
situation
and she's backed herself into this corner.
Yeah.
But like, I think deep down she like, what she really wants is to do good for the world.
Yeah.
She wants to live a good life, a peaceful life. I'm sure she loves wealth and, mm-hmm. and nice things.
Access.
And that's fine. All the rest of us like that stuff too. There's nothing wrong with
that.
No,
there's not.
I just wish like I could be her publicist and I could be like, listen, my strategy for you is to like just, you need to like reel it up. You
yeah.
need to just like or show don't. People who you are.
Or don't. Or pull back.
Or pull back.
But and, don't be doing docuseries, books,
but they have
podcasts.
To make money.
I know. That's
and
the
what
thing.
They have in order to make money
is their story
name and
yeah.
their stories. Like that's
yeah.
that's what it is.
No, you're 100% right. It's like it's honestly a terrible position to be in.
I just wish more people would have compassion for them because like, yes, they are incredibly fucking privileged,
mm-hmm.
but we have no idea what it's like to be Harry
yeah.
or Meghan.
Or to be a royal.
And like, then if they were to go, if she was to go and try and act right now, she'd be criticized and made fun of. And
yeah.
that was what she knew. So what do we expect her to do?
No, that's fair. That's fair. But if she won't kind of break down that fourth wall and like be like an honest, vulnerable person, which is easier said than done,
yeah.
then I don't think these projects are the right projects for her.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but that's a good point. And then just lastly, Charlotte from Sex and the City, this is what she said. She told The Telegraph last week that while she understands fans are upset Kim Cattrall doesn't have a bigger role in the spinoff, she doesn't have any strong feelings about it. She said, I'm not going to waste energy on it. I can't change anybody. I do understand the fans' feelings that they're upset. I wish I could fix it, but I can't. It's not in my power.
You know, I just...
I don't know. Like,
It reminds me all of like Vanderpump Rules and like when I'm like not friends with someone, I feel like I relate to Kim Cattrall in this situation.
That's very
not
interesting.
Not me comparing myself to Kim Cattrall.
To the great Kim Cattrall.
But like I have felt on the outside so many times, but I feel like the reasons why are valid. Like I'm hurt by certain things. I'm choosing to be on the outside. And then the people that are I guess I'm against or I'm opposing
yeah.
with, I don't know.
Arguing this.
Their argument is like, well, we can all get along. We're all friends.
So, that's so
if
true.
You're the one with the problem. And it's
so
like,
true.
No, each of you guys has hurt me. I'm deciding to not be a part of that anymore. Like
yeah.
I choose to have people in my life that I feel like I can trust and bring happiness and good and enrich it instead of take from it. But like, so if that means, but I'm the only one on the outside, so therefore I must be the bad guy.
No, by the way, it's totally giving Vanderpump Rules. And I don't think it's so crazy to say that, like, Vanderpump Rules, especially in, like, the early days with, like, Jax, Kristen, you, Tom, like, I don't think it's crazy to say that, like, Vanderpump Rules was the Sex and City of our generation. Like, I don't think that's the craziest thing to say. Do you?
Oh, my God. You can say it. I can't.
Yeah, no, you can't. But,
like, I am going to start thinking it.
No, like, you are definitely – there's something there.
Oh my God, was
analogous.
I the carry? Oh no.
Well, maybe because if you look back, I was the absolute worst. No, like
but everyone
I was
loved
the worst
you in the moment.
They love to hate me.
No, actually, you were like always acting like an animal, but like everyone, like nobody cared. Like they just like loved you no matter what you did. You know, like it kind of is giving Carrie.
No.
I think it is.
Oh my God.
But then you grew up into a Samantha/Miranda
Thank
hybrid.
You.
I think that's a good place to leave it, you know?
Our fifth and final story is some Barbie movie news. I'm obsessed with the Barbie movie. I would love to get your take on it. And they did like a really cute, smart little promo thing for it with Architectural Digest. So the Barbie Dreamhouse has opened its doors. Margot Robbie hosted a tour of Barbie's iconic home in a new video for Architectural Digest ahead of the theatrical release of the live action Barbie film. And kind of how they do those like celebrity home tours, they did one for Barbie's house. I think it's so cute. So they showed off the over the top Dreamhouse, which features a pool, a bold pink kitchen, a peekaboo view of Barbie's neighbors on the set of the film while she was dressed in character in a light pink and blue checkered cropped jacket, high-waisted miniskirt, and a hat. She looked so cute. Her kitchen has a pink fridge, a round pink breakfast table. She said, not super practical, but nothing is for Barbie. Ugh, I'm just obsessed with this. I think this was like the smartest promo. I thought it was so smart on AD's part. I thought it was so smart on Barbie's part. I cannot wait to see this movie.
No, I'm so excited. And everybody who criticized, because I feel like I've already heard criticism mainly about Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
I am not understanding. First of all, did Ken have an age that I was unaware of?
Okay, so I feel like you're talking directly to me because I was very critical of Ryan Gosling. And I'll explain. Ken didn't have an age.
Exactly.
But Ken was flawless. And I'm sorry. Ryan Gosling is extremely hot. He's not flawless. Like,
who would you cast?
I forget who said this, and I don't want to take credit for it, but I thought it was an amazing call. Austin Butler.
He's not flawless.
No, he literally doesn't have a wrinkle in sight. Like, not to be ageist or anything, but like, sorry.
I don't think Ryan Gosling is that hot.
Ryan Gosling, you don't think Austin Butler's that hot?
Not really. I mean, I think he was hot recently when he got like a spray tan for the Oscars. And I'm like, oh, I love a spray tan.
But you might have loved him as Ken. Like, I'm just saying, somebody with a perfect face. Like,
no, Ryan Gosling is so handsome. That new Jacob Elordi dude.
I was thinking that too.
He has like a really nice, like, Ken-looking face.
Yeah. But like, not to be mean, but like when you look at Margot Robbie, her face is perfection. There's not a thing out of place. Like, she literally looks like a Barbie doll. Ryan Gosling like was just giving like not like perfection. And I know perfection is like an unattainable standard, but Margot Robbie did it flawlessly.
Correct. Okay. No, I'm just, I love Ryan Gosling so
much.
That, oh, it's like, you know, it's like when you complain about Blake Lively in the new.
Yes, it ends with us.
It's just, yeah, you can still love Blake Lively, but just think it's like the wrong fit.
What do you think about that casting? Did you read the book?
I didn't read the book, but like
That's so interesting because you're such a big reader.
Well, I've fallen off a little bit. I haven't read a book in 4 months.
Really?
Get me back on it.
Okay.
I need to like get back on it.
But you like to read like weird things, right? Like historical fiction.
Yeah, but I also like, you guys recommended a lot of shit that wasn't historical fiction that I ended up reading and really loved. Like honestly, most of the books that I was reading, I found through you guys or your fans.
Well, then
I
have a list for you.
Please.
What's your favorite type of book?
Well, historical fiction. Favorite.
But like, do you like thrillers?
I do. I love thrillers.
Do you like smut, like romance books?
I'm not really into that.
Big mistake. Huge.
I mean, I could like try and get there.
I'll send you a list.
Okay.
I'll send you a list.
Yeah, I need to like get on the wagon again.
Yeah, I feel like pregnancy is such a perfect time for reading, no?
I've been busy.
Yeah, you have. But you also have been traveling a lot, and travel is the perfect time for reading.
Yeah, no, good point. Missed opportunity there.
Missed opportunity. Okay, it's fine. Do you ever read The Rose Code?
The Rose Code. I don't think I heard of it.
It's like a popular historical fiction book that I have to read for my book club, and I'm like dreading it because I hate historical fiction, so I was wondering if you had read it.
Oh, that sucks that you hate historical fiction.
I know. I mean, I don't hate it. I just never choose it, but I've read quite a few that I loved, but it's just never what I reach for. I always reach for like a thriller.
Well, like television shows, what do you reach for?
Everything. Like, I have a wide spectrum. Like, I do love like Downton, Gilded Age, but I love, you know, Unscripted. I'm watching Shrinking now. I love it. I love Ted Lasso. I watch everything.
No, literally historical fiction is the only thing I reach for in like all categories
in
of life.
In TV too?
Yeah. Hmm. Movies, everything.
Like, you love Bridgerton.
Yes. It's like the only thing that makes me feel like I truly am excited about the content that I'm, even my TikTok algorithm.
Yeah, I can imagine. Darkness everywhere. Well, what are your thoughts on the Barbie movie in terms of like the trailer we've gotten? Like, what do you think it's going to be good?
Oh, yes. Yeah. No, I think it's going to be fucking perfect.
Margot Robbie like doesn't make bad movies.
No, I don't know. Lately, I feel like her movies aren't
artsy.
They're a little artsy. They're not like hitting with like the rest of us basic bitches. You know what I mean?
But I feel like her big budget blockbuster movies are always good. Like I, Tonya, like when she's doing the most for a movie.
Yeah.
I
don't see how Barbie could be a flop.
I know.
I don't see a world where, especially because they've been trying to get this movie made in so many different ways for so long that like they're not going to half-ass it.
No, and visually it looks so beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, is it really true that like they had a pink paint shortage in the world?
Because of the Barbie movie?
Did you read this?
I didn't.
They said that there was a pink paint shortage in the world because of the Barbie movie, because they wanted everything, the pink, to be so vibrant.
Right. I mean, I believe that, but I also feel like for the last few years, there's just been like shortages of everything, and they're like COVID, China, you know, like there was literally a shortage of glitter. Remember, like
there was a shortage of glitter.
There was a shortage of like washing machines and cars because of like the microchips that have to go in it. Like there was a shortage of everything.
Isn't that weird that we lived through COVID?
No,
like,
I know.
If you like think about it, like
sometimes like I'll sit back and think about like people were so tense and so like high strung and like fighting about everything online. And like, you know, when I think about some of the shit like people used to like riot over on the internet, like if that happened today, I'm like, you guys, like people were so deeply unwell. Like it's humiliating.
No, it's literally like we lived through the bubonic plague.
No, literally. Like by the way,
wild.
I literally had dinner after being quarantined in May. I had dinner with my family outside. We sat outside.
Oh, I remember listening to you reference this on the toes.
We all walked. We sat outside. We had been quarantined for 60 days, not seeing another human. We had a meal outside. You would have thought we committed genocide the way people came for us. And now in hindsight, you all look so stupid and I'm like humiliated for the people who did that. But like, it was terrifying. Like people came, like, I was like, what? And we weren't taking it lightly. Like Olivia was 9 months pregnant. Like we were doing the most. Like the way people came for us, I was like, and now in hindsight, I'm like, oh my God, like people were, it like COVID was obviously like an illness, but it was also a mental illness. The way quarantine made people fucking nuts.
Nuts. No,
nuts.
I completely agree.
Like, and now in hindsight, we realize how crazy it was, but like, I'm waiting for my apology. I think I'll be waiting quite a while. Well, Stassi, I just love chatting with you.
I hate that this is over.
I know. I mean, if there's anything else you want to chat about, like we don't have to be done.
I mean, I can't like think off the top of my head, but I just love doing this with you.
You are welcome back anytime. You know that.
Thank you.
If you liked what you heard here, Stassi is like a huge podcast. By the way, I don't know if you've been, the last time you were on the show, you were promoting your book was Straight Up with Stassi. Straight Up with Stassi has made kind of a triumphant return. How does it feel? Yeah. You were one of the first podcasters. Not like the first ever, but like in this space.
Honestly, it feels like I just like am new. Like,
really?
I do appreciate when people like you are like, give me that credit.
Yeah, you're an OG.
Because you guys are so amazing and so talented and so successful. And I think like because I didn't have my podcast for 2 years, like I feel like I'm just new and starting out again. Like I'm starting this new business.
No way. It's like, first of all, it's like riding a bike.
It is, but like it, I forget that I have been doing it for a long time.
Yeah. Also, podcasting has changed so much since the last time you did it.
100%.
I feel like when you were like really starting out, you would always go into a studio. Like there was no podcasting from home.
I know.
But like COVID really like expedited. Like everybody has like full fancy podcast setups. You film in your house, right?
Yeah.
Like so much changed during that time because of COVID. But no, you're like an OG podcaster, Straight Up with Stassi. How many episodes? You do one a week?
One a week, yeah.
And it's so good. And I personally like the Pop Culture Hour because I'm obsessed with Taylor Schreger. But check it out, Straight Up with Stassi. You also have a Patreon, which we love. Patreon over here. Yep. It's patreon.com/Stassi. Oh, that's such a good link.
Yeah, right?
Straight into the Stassi's point.
Stassi's just so easy.
It's so easy. How do you feel about like not being the only famous Stassi? And have you met the other famous Stassi?
No. What's it called? Stassi Baby?
Yes. Well, she doesn't go by Stassi Baby anymore.
She doesn't?
No, she like changed all of her
Doesn't usernames. She go by Stass?
Yes. Yes.
Do you think that's because of me?
I like to think so.
I want to think it is too. Yeah. But like, she's like, well, there's already a Stassi, so I'm just
Have you ever met?
Stassi. No, I've never met her, but I get confused for her.
Yeah.
Like when I like, I'm going in to like renew my car lease or whatever, like the guy at the dealership will be like, so you're famous. And I think that he's like Vanderpump talking Rules. About Vanderpump Rules. And he'll start being like, so Kylie Jenner, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, that's not me. That's not me.
You can just roll with it. Maybe you'll get, you know, you'll cut the line or something. See,
like it is so annoying having another, like the way that I name my babies is like their name has to be like outside of the 5,000 list. I don't want them to share a name with anyone. And it's just, it's like,
do you have a name for your baby?
Oh yeah, that's done.
It's done.
That's done.
How did you find it?
Done. It was actually the last time I was in New York here. It was like the day before I saw you for Taylor's birthday. I came up with it.
And did you find it like in a book or something, or it just kind of floated into your mind through a list?
There was a street that I saw that I'm like, I like this name, but we already knew someone who was named that. So then we like changed it.
Interesting.
We changed it.
So let me guess. Is it 7th Avenue? 7th Avenue.
7 Clark? Actually is a cool name.
It is actually a cool name, like, but it's like a little too out there, I think.
Well, it reminds me of Harper 7.
It reminds me of 7 by Taylor Swift. A beautiful song.
Wait, can you tell me how you keep getting tickets to Taylor Swift? The way I've tried, I've gone through.
I'll tell you.
I've gone through my agency. Okay. I've gone through everyone.
Well, let me tell you. The first time I got a box in Nashville with like 20 of my friends, and we each paid what we would pay for like a regular ticket, and we all just ended up getting our own box. I literally contacted like a salesperson for the Nissan Stadium. Like I like went through just like the regular channels. The second time I bought them on StubHub 3 hours before. it was still very pricey. The third time a brand went, and they a brand called Tangle Teaser, they had purchased a box and filled it with influencers and content creators. So that was that. And I think I will be going one more time. I'm not sure when.
The fuck?
I know. Claudia. No, the thing is with the Taylor tickets, like you can't cut any lines. Like you just have to pay for it.
Well, no, that's fine. I'm just like, I didn't want to just like have a regular seat. I wanted to like, I want to purchase the best experience.
Yes, yes. And I actually purchased the best experience on StubHub.
Okay.
That's, I would say my best tickets.
So you're saying that when she's in LA, I should day of?
Yep.
So like not the day before, it's like.
No, just get dressed. Like I was, no. I knew I was going to go.
No.
And then as I'm doing my makeup, we bought the tickets. We were monitoring all day.
But what if you couldn't find the tickets and you got ready for nothing? And like, that's such a letdown.
Like I would have found, like one thing about me, like I would have found the tickets.
Can't you do it for me?
I'll give you my credit card info. For sure. As long as I could buy one for myself. Like, sure.
No, real talk. That would be my payment to you.
By the way, done.
Come John. To California.
We are thinking, me and Margo, just depending on like what happens with Jackie's like birth schedule, we are really hoping to be in LA for the August shows.
Great.
For Taylor. Yeah.
Great.
So maybe I'll see you there.
So maybe you literally will be there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm hoping to be.
Let's work on
we'll
this.
We'll coordinate.
Okay.
Make sure you're following Stassi on all platforms. Thank you so much for being
Thank
here.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for listening. Tomorrow we are in studio with Jax, which is so exciting. She hasn't been in studio in a while. So thank you so much for listening to The Toast, the Monday Morning Show, where we deliver the fastest stories you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So watching us on YouTube, please remember to subscribe and give us a video thumbs up. We're also available as podcasts anywhere podcasts can be found. So Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iRecast, Box, all the places where this podcast, but as a totally five star review about how beautiful, sounding, and wickedly talented we are. Hope you guys have an amazing day. I'll see all my Boston girlies tonight for our Spritz event, and have a great day. Love ya. Bye.